going to talk about the COVID. I don't even know what that stands for, virus. And people have been asking me a lot. This is an angel, and the bottom slide here is a picture of the virus itself, a blow-up of it. And people have been asking me already, is this the end times? Are we getting close to Jesus' return? And does this have to do with the plagues in Revelation and all those things? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today and try to alleviate some fears and get some truth into what's going on in the world today. Revelation 6:8 says this, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse." The word pale here means the color of death. Like when you go into a funeral home and somebody's in a casket, that's what we're talking about here. "And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth." So people look at verses like that and they see what's going on and the panic that's being caused by the media. Now, we have to be smart and use precautions, but we could do that without fearing. On December 31st of last year, the Wuhan Municipal Health Commission over in China noticed a cluster of 27 pneumonia cases. And all it was, they took these people in, and it's a new strain of influenza, the flu. As of January 30th, 2020, all infections worldwide were either from China or from people who had visited China. On February 4th, the first case of coronavirus not attributed to China was found on a ship, the Diamond Princess. That ship had 705 passengers who had the coronavirus. So they quarantined them. That means they wouldn't let them off the boat, okay? On February 22nd, the first cases were reported in Italy. Now, this is of Friday when I was doing these. Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, these statistics were factual as of that time. As of this week, your chances of catching the coronavirus are 3 in 100,000 if you're in Europe. They are 16 in 100,000 if you live in Italy. In Iceland, they are 16 in 100,000. In the United States, your chances of catching the coronavirus are 5 in every 1 million. Just to keep things in perspective, your chances of dying from being in the vicinity of someone who's had a drink too many are way greater than they are from dying in the vicinity of someone who has the coronavirus. Your chance of dying with somebody who's had one or two beers is 1 in 3,716. So to put that in perspective, you are 269 times more likely to die by being hit by a drunk driver than you are from getting the coronavirus. 36.7% of all deaths have occurred in people over the age of 80. 49% of those had pre-existing conditions, cancer, heart disease, lung disease, high blood pressure, things like that. As the age goes down, your chances of dying from the virus go down also. If you are 50 or younger, this is, now remember, there's only a 5 in a million chance that you actually catch this virus. But if you do catch it, if you're 50 or younger, your chances of dying are 1.3%. If you are 40 and younger, your chances of dying are 0.4%. If you are between the ages of 10 and 39, your chances of dying, if you actually catch the disease, are 0.2%. And if you're under the age of 9, your chances of dying from this disease so far are 0. So we're making a lot out of a few cases, not to make light of people who have passed from this. Those are the statistics from the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control, again, as of Friday at 4 p.m. That doesn't mean the statistics are going to say that way, of course. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel already said that there's going to be tens of millions of people who die from this disease. Nationwide, restaurants have already lost 20% of their business. Airlines expect to lose $113 billion this year because of this. So airline sales are down, but toilet paper sales are up. Toilet paper was first used in China about 200 years before Christ. It was just paper, rolled up paper that they discarded. It would be 15 centuries before it began to resemble its modern counterpart. But even then, it was just small squares of paper, and they would pile them up in a box. It would take Americans, Thomas Seymour, Edward Irvin, and Clarence Scott, to put toilet paper on rolls. It would be 4 years after that before Zeth Wheeler patented a device to perforate it. It would be another 26 years before Americans accepted that. Here's the biggie. It would take until 1935 for toilet paper to be invented that was splinter free. Back in 1973, for those of us who were alive at that time, there was an oil shortage around the world. It was an embargo. The Arab nations weren't giving us oil. And so there was long lines at the gas stations. And Johnny Carson was the coal bearer and these guys of that day. Okay, so Johnny Carson was a late night talk show host. And he was doing a dialogue during the middle of this embargo. And he's making fun of it. And so he said, and the next thing that we're going to have a shortage of is toilet paper. Guess what happened? Same thing you're seeing today. Couldn't find roll of toilet paper any place in the country. All over a joke. One day, though, it's not going to be a joke. People are already asking me, is this the plagues of Revelation? Are we living in the last times? The short answer to that is no. Okay, it is not. This is not the plagues of Revelation. But it could be the beginning of birth pangs that Jesus describes in Matthew 25, or Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 6 to 8. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but this is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs. Notice right off the bat what Jesus says. Don't be frightened when you start hearing these things and seeing these things. Note also that the words plagues and pestilence are not in that verse. Now, if you have the King James Version or the New King James Version, the words plague are in there. But the newer versions have gone back. We found older and older manuscripts going back to the beginning when they were written, and the words plague and pestilence are not in that verse in the original early writings. The word plague actually doesn't occur in the New Testament until after the tribulation period begins. Anyway, this verse here begins a monologue by Jesus. The disciples asked him, Lord, tell us what's going to be the one sign that we can see. And when we see that sign, we will know that you're coming back. Just tell us the one thing. And before Jesus told them that one thing, he gave them a whole list of things. And these are some of those things that are going to happen. So what is that one thing? Let's just say that it's being played out right before our eyes. The one thing that Jesus said will happen that absolutely shows you that he will be returning any day is being played out now. But see, Satan doesn't want us focused on that, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Satan wants us focused on this flu that's already almost gone in China. Okay, it's already going away. And so they want us to be focused on that instead of what's really going on in the world. Because what's really going on in the world could usher in the return of Christ. So whether this virus fits into the end times or not, Jesus makes it clear that these are the beginning and not the culmination of the end of days. So this is not a plague from the book of Revelation, but it could be the beginning leading up to Christ's return. Now, certainly people living during the Black Plague, we did a sermon on this a couple months ago, certainly people living during that time, the plague wiped out a large percentage of Europe. Estimates range from 25% to almost 50%. And surely those people thought that they were living in the last days. This is it. This is God's punishment come upon the earth. Christ is coming back. And then after World War I ended in 1917. In 1917, the Spanish flu hit. The Spanish flu ended up killing more people than World War I did. And certainly people living at that time thought, this is the end. Jesus is coming back. God's wrath is coming to the earth. But see, there's a big difference for us today to be able to say that, that to ask these questions and to say that we may be living in the end times. And the reason we could say that is because back in 1917 and back in the days of the plague, all the prophecies that had to be fulfilled before Christ could return had not been fulfilled yet. Today they have. There's not a prophecy in the Bible leading up to Christ's return that has not been fulfilled. Here's the thing. Are we living in the last days? Is the wrong question. So what's the right question? Let's look at some verses that do tell us that God will send plagues and what the purpose of those plagues is. First, understand that the word plague doesn't necessarily mean disease. Remember also, most of you guys should know this, nothing happens in the New Testament that what? That didn't happen in the Old Testament. Proud of you guys. That's good. So let's compare the end with the beginning, and we'll be able to determine where the coronavirus fits into all of this. And we'll be able to see that it's not one of the plagues from Revelation. Remember, as we get into these plagues, and we're not going to delve into what happened a long time ago other than to reference what was going on. Israel was captive in Egypt. God wants to set his people free, lead them to the land we call Israel today. And so he sends a series of 10 plagues. Plague number one, you'll find it in Exodus 7:20. Water will be turned to blood. This is repeated in Revelation 11:6. And they have power to turn waters into blood. Number two, Exodus 8:6. Frogs will cover the land. Revelation 16:13-14. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons. Plague number three, Exodus 8:6, lice. Lice, by the way, was formed from dust of the earth. Revelation 11:6, they had the power to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. This verse, by the way, is not talking about demons here. This is not God giving demons the power to do this. This is the two witnesses who will preach the gospel from the temple in Jerusalem, and they won't be able to be killed for 3.5 years. So we're talking about them. They're the ones given the power to strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. So this is God's people, not Satan. Number four comes from Exodus 9:6. Flies will cover the land. This once again goes back to our previous verse about striking the earth. Number five, Exodus 9:6, food will be destroyed. Back then it was livestock, okay? Revelation 8:9, one-third of all things living in the sea died. Today the main source of food around the world is seafood. Number six, Exodus 9:10, boils will cover men. Revelation 16:2, so the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people. Number seven, hail. Exodus 9:23. Revelation 8:7. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. Number eight, locusts. Exodus 10:13. Finds its counterpart in Revelation 9:3. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Number nine, darkness. Exodus 10:22 is your reference. Revelation 8:12, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Of course, plague number 10, people died. But here's the thing. Did you see the coronavirus in there? Those are the plagues of the book of Revelation. They're the same plagues that God brought upon Egypt 4,500 years ago. There's no coronavirus. Okay. So the coronavirus in and of itself is not pointing to the end of days. Now listen, in the 10th plague we know people died, the firstborn died. Listen, it wasn't a demon, it wasn't an angel, it was Jesus himself who flew over the land of Egypt and killed the firstborn in the houses. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. It was Jesus himself. Now listen, God's not just some monster up there. He's not a vengeful, wrathful person just waiting to pour out his vengeance upon us. That's not the God we serve. God gave the Egyptians, and I'm sure a lot of the Israelites didn't believe either, he gave them 9 opportunities to fall on their faces, to repent, to get right with God, and avoid the 10th plague. He gave them every opportunity. And many of them refused to do so. So when Jesus, and this is appropriate because we're getting into Easter with Passover, when Jesus passed over the houses and put blood on their door, he passed by because they did what Jesus told them to do. Cover yourselves in blood and you'll live. It's the same mandate that we have today. You want to live? Cover yourselves with the blood of Jesus. Same mandate. So when Jesus looked down and saw that blood, he passed over that house, and when he went to the next house and there was no blood, the firstborn died. That's why it's called Passover. The word Passover, by the way, did not come about until William Tyndale translated the Bible about 457 years ago. He's the one that coined the phrase. Here's something to note about the plagues, by the way, in Revelation. 7 of the 10 plagues occurred during the first 3.5 years of that final 7-year period. You have a lot of people tell you that whole 7 years is not the tribulation, it's just that last 3.5 years. That's not true. It's the whole 7 years. 7 of these plagues occurred during the first 3.5 years, and 3 of them will occur in the second half. The reason is the first 7 are meant to turn man to Christ, just like it was in Egypt. When you see all these things happening, you know that the time is near. You better get right with Jesus because eternity is at the door. The ones that occur in the final 3.5 years, we've now gone from opportunity to get right with God, 3.5-year mark, last 3.5 years, your chance to get right with God is gone. It's over. When those plagues come in that last 3.5 years, it is God's wrath being poured out upon the earth. The first are given as a warning to get right with God. The others are God's wrath. Can you bring up chart, Abby? Did I give you guys a chart? Make it easier to show. Maybe I did, maybe not. There we go. Okay, here's where we are today. Okay, you can see where we are. Here's the coronavirus over here. Are there birth pangs? Then we're going to get to the rapture. And then the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the first 7 plagues. And then the midpoint, and the Bible tells us exactly what the midpoint is. When the Antichrist walks into the temple and claims to be Jesus, that's the midway point of the tribulation. From that point, you know that you have exactly 1,260 days, 3.5 years until Jesus comes back. Last 3.5 years, Jesus returns. So this is what it looks like for the rest of history from here forward. At any rate, the comparison of the plagues is simply to show us that the coronavirus is not part of that end time scenario. But it may point to the birth pangs Jesus spoke of. Still, there are things going on in the world that if you really want to know where we're at in the world, where are we at in history? When is Jesus coming back? Is Jesus coming back? Listen, we're asking the wrong questions. We're looking at the wrong thing. If you really want to know where we stand in history, how close we are to the return of Christ, you need to look to Israel. Listen, the entire Bible, we don't like to think this, from page 1 to the last page, it's written about for and to the Jews. Okay, we get to come along for the ride. But it's all about Israel. While we're spending 24 hours a day worried about a new type of flu, Israel's in a crisis. Her enemies have amassed on almost every one of her border with new weapons. Prime Minister Netanyahu is being challenged from within and without by left-wingers who are bringing up false allegations to impeach him, just like we're going through in our country. If he is ousted, this is where this gets really important, guys. If Prime Minister Netanyahu is ousted, And the other party comes in control. The other party is Arab friendly, Muslim friendly, Muslim controlled. Here's where this gets tough for us, okay? Now, first of all, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. Whether it's now with Prime Minister Netanyahu or 100 years from now, I don't know. But it is going to happen. And we know it's going to happen because the Bible tells us so. The prophet Joel tells us, and it gives us a clue when Jesus is coming back. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and what? Divided up my land. Netanyahu goes, Muslim-friendly prime minister comes in, they start dividing up Israel's land more and more. God's not going to put up with that. God said once his people are settled in their land, they're going to stay there. And so this is setting the stage, more than the coronavirus, for the end of days. This is an end times prophecy. By the way, the Valley of Jehoshaphat has two other names, the Jezreel Valley and Armageddon. This will be, if you took John's Revelation class, we picture the Battle of Armageddon as being this long drawn out war between good and evil. Not so. If you've taken John's Revelation class, you know it's going to be over just like that. And it's most likely going to take place at nighttime. But it's not going to be a long, prolonged war. All the people, all the forces of darkness are going to gather against Israel and against Christ, and Jesus is going to come back and it's going to be over. Okay, Jesus doesn't need a long, prolonged fight to defeat his foes. The point is, if you're concerned about we're living in the last days, keep an eye on Israel and not the coronavirus. So everything we've said so far gives us the facts, both secular and biblical, about the coronavirus. But they still pertain to the wrong question. See, the wrong question isn't, is the coronavirus a sign of the end days? The question is not, are we living in the last days? Not the question. Here's the question. Are you ready if we are living in the last days? That's a question you should be asking. One day, listen, maybe today, maybe, Jesus said they're going to be asking, they're going to all get skeptical and they're going to mock me and they're going to say, it's been 2,000 years. You really think this guy's coming back one day? And Jesus said, when you least expect it, I'm going to come. So it might be today. One day Jesus is going to come back. What if that is today? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to step into eternity if Jesus comes back today? Because you will. Listen, if Jesus comes back today, it means you have exactly 7 years before Armageddon. And Jesus sets up his 1,000-year reign. Listen, because people don't want to hear this stuff, okay? Listen. It also means that if Jesus comes today and raptures those who are his, some people, I don't know who, statistically, some of you guys are still going to be here. And listen, I know what people say, well, I know what the Bible says. When I see the church disappear, I know I got 7 years to get right with Jesus. And then I know when the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple, I have another 3.5 years to get right with Jesus. Listen, two problems with that. One, your chances are pretty high that you're going to die during that first 3.5 years. Okay, a lot of mankind's going to be wiped out during that first 3.5 years. And two, you're not going to be able to understand the gospel. It's not going to make any sense to you. If you have heard the gospel and you refuse to accept Christ now, once the rapture occurs, you're not going to be able to understand the truth. How do I know that? God told us. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10b through 12. Because they refused to love the truth and to be saved, okay, that's when you come to church and you hear the gospel message and the Holy Spirit says you need to go up there and you need to get right with God. Because they refused to love the truth and be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they will believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See what God's saying here? God's saying once that church is gone, if you have heard the story of Christ before and you have refused him, I'm going to confuse your mind so that nothing in this book will make sense to you and you will never come to Christ. Now, there will be people who will be saved during that tribulation period and during the thousand-year reign of Christ, but not if you've sat in churches week after week after week after week and refused to get right with Christ. Your opportunity will be gone. So you need to get right with Jesus if we are living in the last days. And Jesus does decide to come back today. You better be ready. Look what they did here. They refused to be saved. God's words, not Brian's words. And because they refuse to be saved, they're going to be condemned. God's words. Please listen to me, guys. Listen. Please listen to me. Whether the coronavirus kills you or not, you are going to die. Might not be today, but it might be. We don't know. Charlie can tell you, right, Charlie? Her brother's making a sandwich in the kitchen, drop dead. So it could be today. Please don't brush this off. Listen. If you are not absolutely, absolutely certain that if today is the day, that if Jesus comes back or you die, if you're not absolutely certain that you're going to go to heaven to live with Jesus, you need to not put this off any longer. The coronavirus is truly the last of your worries. The Bible says this, listen, I know what it's like to sit out there. I was there. You're afraid to go forward. People will laugh at you. People think I'm saved. People think I've been saved for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I'll look like an idiot if I go up there. Listen, you can look like an idiot now, or you can spend eternity in the flames of hell. Those are your choices. Please don't brush this off, guys. The Bible says we're all sinners. So listen, coming forward and accepting Christ doesn't make you any different than anybody else. That's why we need Jesus. I need Jesus. Billy Graham needed Jesus. Mother Teresa needed Jesus. The Pope really needs Jesus. You're going to live forever, whether that's in heaven or hell. You are going to live forever. See, death as we picture it does not exist. You immediately go from this plane to the next, just like that. You're going to live forever someplace. If you are saved, you shouldn't be afraid of this or any other virus. Fear is a lack of faith. Now listen, here's the thing. As Christians, it is so awesome to see all you guys here today. I thought we'd have like five people here. It is so great to see you guys, and I'm so proud of you guys. Listen, the world is watching. We're called to be different. We're called to react differently than the world. We're called to be separate. They are watching how we react to this. If we in this room who claim Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we panic and fear and run around buying up all the toilet paper like everybody else, they have no incentive to come through those doors and get right with Christ because we're just like them. We're telling them we don't think our God is strong enough to help us. So we're called to be different in the way we react to these things. Here's a couple quotes. Florence Nightingale. How very little can be done under the spirit of fear. Florence Nightingale knows what she's talking about. If you don't know, she's the person who came up with modern nursing. And she's not just talking here. She threw herself into the front lines of war and famine and pestilence. They didn't want her to go because she was a woman, but she insisted. She disguised herself as a guy and went into the front lines to help soldiers. So she knows what she's talking about. Amy Carmichael said this, "If my attitude is one of fear and not faith, then I know nothing of Calvary." You understand what she's saying? If you claim Jesus, but you are scared to death because of what you're reading in the newspaper, then you're lying. You have no idea what Christ did at Calvary. Charles Spurgeon, the worst evils of life are those which do not exist. We feel 1,000 deaths in fearing one thing. Listen, you know what he's saying here? Your chances of catching the coronavirus and dying are almost zero. But if you worry yourself to death about it 24 hours a day, you're going to die 1,000 deaths. King David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now listen, when David wrote this, he was smack in the middle of that cruise ship surrounded by 705 people with a coronavirus. That's where David is when he wrote this. Look, though I walk through, he's still in the middle of this trial. He hasn't come out the other side. I will fear no evil. Why? Because I trust God. I trust God. Listen, friends, the world is watching. We're called to act differently, to not go around panicking like everybody else. We need to stop all the fear and panic. Caution? Absolutely. Outright fear? No. It doesn't have a place in the life of a Christian. Listen, you can only live fear-free. How many people in here are not afraid to die right now? I'm not afraid to die right at this instant. God, you can take me home right this instant, and God knows that's the truth. If you can't say that, there's a problem. If you can't say that, you better get right with Jesus. Today, Kevin and Jared had the courage to say to everyone in the world that I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Listen, there's going to be people that are going to laugh at him and make fun of him and ridicule him and put him down. But one day, that pale rider on that horse is coming. And who's going to look good that day? This might be your last chance. Listen, Kevin and Jared had the courage to come up and say yes to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, this is your chance. Anybody have the courage to do that? Have the courage to come up and say yes to Jesus. Listen, what if you do catch a coronavirus and die? This is your chance to get right with Christ, guys. Listen, the unpardonable sin that the Bible talks about is this. You sit in church, the Holy Spirit says you need to get right with Jesus, and you say, not today, and then you die. That's the unforgivable sin. This may be the last opportunity you have to get right with Jesus, who is the Christ. Anybody have the courage to do that today? It takes courage. I know, I was where you are. It takes a lot of courage. I don't know why. It's the easiest thing in the world. And everybody surrounding you, I don't know your situation. Maybe everybody in here is right with Jesus. I don't know. But sorry, I thought Abby was trying to motion for me back there. But here's the thing. Everybody around you is also a sinner. Everybody around you thinks the same thoughts, does the same things, falls into the same traps. Everybody. You know how I know? Because this book tells me. It says, nothing will come upon you except which is common to every other person. That's what it says. So you don't need to be embarrassed about accepting Christ. You just need to have the courage to get up out of your seat and come and say, yes, Jesus. Anybody want to do that today? If you don't want to come forward, I understand. I've been where you are. Please talk to somebody. One of my deacons. Myself. Get right with Jesus, guys. We are reaching the point. K. Arthur, who I think knows more about the Bible than any person alive, K. Arthur said this, the time to teach our children how to live is gone. It's now time to teach them how to die, because we're that close to the return of Christ. It's going to happen. I love you guys.